بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed, and this is chapter number 19, and this is the first class of chapter 19. The title which the author rahimahullah mentioned is this: باب. He said, ما جاء أن سبب كفر بني آدم وتركهم دينهم هو الغلو في الصالحين. Title: the excessive creed in the righteous persons is the root cause of disbelief of mankind and their deviation from the true religion. What does the term ghulu, excessiveness, mean? It means excessiveness in either praise or criticism, insult, rather. Naam. The righteous, who are the righteous? The righteous one is the one who establishes the right of Allah and the right of Allah's slaves. Then the author began with the texts from the Quran and the authentic narrations. He cited the following verse from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 171. The saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ إِنْتَهُوا خَيْرًا لَكُمْ إنما الله إله واحد سبحانه أن يكون له ولد له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكفى بالله وكيلا. He cited the following verse concerning excessiveness. O people of the scriptures, meaning Jews and Christians, do not exceed the limits in your religion, nor say of Allah aught but the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, Isa, Al-Masih, son of Mary, son of Maryam, was no more than a messenger of Allah, and his word be, and he was, which he bestowed on Maryam, and a spirit created by him, by Allah. So believe in Allah and his messengers. Say not three, which is the Trinity, sees it is better for you, for Allah is the only one, Ilah, God, glory be to him, far exalted is he, above having a son. To him belongs all that's in the heavens and all that's in the earth, and Allah is all sufficient as a disposer of affairs. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, this is a call to the people of the book, and they are the Jews and the Christians, and the book is the Torah for the Jews, and the Injil, the Gospel, for the Christians. لا تغلو في دينكم, don't exceed the limits, either in praise or in insult. And the matter is as such, with respect to the people of the book in general, because they exceeded the limits concerning Isa, Jesus, son of Mary, son of Maryam, alayhi salam, either in praise or in insult. Where the Christians said that he was the son of Allah. They said that he was the son of Allah. This is excessiveness. The second also, they made him one of three. And the Jews exceeded the limits in dispraising him. And they said his mother, Mary, alayhi salam, was Zania. She committed zina, illegal sexual intercourse, and that he is son of zina, out of wedlock. Allah al-musta'an. So either one of them exceeded the limits in their religion. And Allah further said concerning this, admonishing them, وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ, nor say of Allah except but or ought but the truth. What does this mean? It means to say of Allah what Allah said about Himself, that He is the only true God, one and unique, perfect in His attributes, samad, and He doesn't have a wife, nor does He have offspring. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ, then the real status of Al-Masih Jesus is made clear in this verse. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Contemplate carefully these words. The Masih, Jesus, is, look at this, Allah added Him to His mother. You see that? Allah added Him to His mother. Why? Why? In order what? To nullify the saying of the Christians who add Him to Allah. You understand? You understand? Son of Mary. He attributed Him as a son to Mary in order to make clear the futility of the Christians' statement that He is the Son of Allah. Now, also, look at this. This is the first one. He was no more than a messenger. No more than a messenger. This is a nullification of what? Can anybody know? This is a nullification of what? No. And refutation to whom? Refutation to whom? Remember who are addressed? No, the Christians already, they are refuted. The second, people of the book, who are the second part? The Jews. Exactly. The Jews refuting and nullifying their claim that He is a liar. Right? Allah states that He is Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah. Also, in this there is a nullification that He is divine of the Christians. Concerning Jesus alayhi salam, attributing divinity to Him. Tayyib. Look at this. And His word. His word. This is a refutation to whom? A refutation of what? His word be. This is refutation. His word. Yes. Again. The lies again, you know, of the Jews. When they said that He is son of, you know, of illegal relations. You understand? Then Allah said, and His word which He bestowed on Mary, on Maryam, where He said, be, and He was. So there are so many benefits in these statements of Allah the Most High. There is another benefit now comes. And a spirit created by Him, by Allah. Meaning like the rest of the children of Adam. Body and soul. Body and soul. And He added the spirit, a spirit, look at this, created by him. By whom? By Allah, right? This is an addition of honor. Addition of honor. Now, like the saying of Allah in Surah Sad, 38, 72. قال الله تعالى ونفخت فيه من إيش؟ من روحي. ونفخت فيه من روحي. And so when I have fashioned him and breathed into him, into his soul, into him, his soul created by me, to Adam. This is also what? An addition of what? You tell me. An addition of breathed into him, his soul created by me. Yes. This is an honor, created by me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, says, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةً. Okay. So believe in Allah and His messengers, and His messenger. This is an addressing to the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. And from his messengers is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the final and last one and the best of them all. وَلَا تَقُولُ ثَلَاثَ, and say not three. That is, Allah is one of three. إِنْتَهُ خَيْرًا لَكُمْ, sees, it is better for you. Meaning sees, this will be better for you. إِنَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِد, for verily Allah is the only one ilah, one true God. Subhanahu, meaning far removed is he from all defects and or derogatory things, and having a son, because this is imperfection. Why? Because he is the possessor. He is a possessor of all that's in the heavens and the earth. Look at this. To him belongs all that's in the heavens and all that's in the earth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from them is Jesus. He belongs to Allah. He is a creation of Allah. So how could he be therefore a God besides Allah? Or a son to Allah? Then Allah stated, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, and Allah is all sufficient as a disposer of affairs. Meaning sufficient is Allah to be the one who preserves and runs the affairs of his slaves, knowing their deeds and actions. Now what's the point of evidence therefore from this verse which the author cited? What's the point of evidence from this verse which the author cited? The point is, can you tell me, what's the whole point about the author citing this verse? What's the point of evidence in this verse in relation to the title of the chapter now? Can you tell me? Do you know that? Exaggeration, excessiveness in the religion. Excessiveness in the religion. So there is a forbiddance here, not to exceed the limits concerning the religion, because there are so many evil consequences to that. From that, placing the person who is excessively praised above his normal rank, if it is a praise, and below it, if it is dispraise. Clear? This is one evil evil consequence. Clear? The second, this leads to the worship of this person who is magnified in this way, as is the case with the people of excessiveness, as is the case with the people of ghulu. Okay, so these two things are clear. These two evil consequences are clear. Now the third one is that it turns away from the magnification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the self, either that it will busy, the person will busy himself either with falsehood or truth. So if it becomes busy with magnifying this individual and praising him, then it will be attached to him and it will forget what is dutiful to Allah the Most High. Is that clear? This is the third evil thing. The fourth consequence, the one excessively praised, if he is existing and present, then in this case he will puff up and will be proud, and this is in itself is something corrupt and evil, if it is a praise. If it is on the other side, it will entail enmity and hatred and afflictions between this and that, if it is what? This praise and insult. So don't exceed the limits in your deen. What's intended by the deen here is your actions. Meaning, don't make your actions of excessiveness in worship, and in this case excessiveness concerning the creatures and others as well, like in performing the acts of worship themselves. Excessiveness could even fall under such, or may affect this worship, these acts of worship, like excessive worship leading to physical toil on the body, to exceed the limit in that. For example, to perform additional remembrances at the end of Salah, extra to those that are prescribed, and other acts of worship. So therefore, the forbiddance to exceed the limits in the religion covers all excessiveness in all aspects of it. Now, then the author, rahimahullah, cited the interpretation by Ibn Abbas to the saying of Allah in Surah Nuh, verse 71-23, concerning this verse. And this verse is in reference to the people of Nuh. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. And they said, you shall not leave your gods, nor shall you leave Wad, nor Suwa', nor Yaguth, nor Ya'uq, nor Nasra. Who are the ones who said this? They have said, meaning to each other, from among the people of Nuh, meaning don't abandon your gods. And this means, don't abandon them and don't allow anyone to insult them as well. Both meanings are correct. And don't leave your gods covers both. Also, don't leave worshipping them rather be keen about worshipping them. And this is recommending falsehood amongst each other. And then they specified some of them. Nor shall you leave Wad, nor Suwa, nor Yaghuth, nor Ya'uq, nor Nasr. In the beginning, you should not leave your gods. This covers all the gods they worshipped. But then there was the mention of these five, Wad, Suwa, Yaghuth, Ya'uq, Nasra, as if they are from their special great gods, quote, end of quote. So they were specifically mentioned. And the term Aliha is a plural of God, and this means everything that is worshipped, whether worship in truth or falsehood. But if the worship is Allah, then this is truth. It'll be through God. If other than Allah, then it's false. Ibn Abbas, may Allah's mercy be upon him and his father, said concerning this verse that this is, or these are names of righteous men from the people of Noah. However, this interpretation is problematic, where he said these are names of men, righteous men from the people of Noah. While what's apparent from the Quran, that these were before Noah. Allah stated in Surah Nuh 71, verses 21-22. قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارة وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم Noah said, my Lord, they have disobeyed me and followed one whose wealth and children give him no increase but only loss, and they have plotted a mighty plot. Then 23, then comes the mention of these idols, their gods. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ, and they have plotted a mighty plot, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا, and they have said, you shall not leave your gods, nor shall you leave Wad, Suwa, Ya'uth, Ya'uq, and Nasra. You see that now? In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related what Noah said, my Lord, they have disobeyed me and followed one whose wealth and children give him no increase but only loss. So what's apparent from this noble verse is that the people of Noah used to worship them. Then Noah forbade them to do that. Is that clear? And ordered them to command only the one true God, Allah. But they disobeyed and they said, you shall not leave your gods, nor shall you leave. And they named these five. You see that? So what's apparent from the verse, that what? That these were before Noah. And this position that they are before Noah is the saying of Muhammad bin Ka'b and Muhammad bin Qais. And it is the preponderating opinion because it is in agreement with the apparent meaning in the Quran text. So what's apparent therefore in the interpretation of this verse, that these are idols existed in the people of Noah, and that they were righteous men, and then after a prolonged term, their people ended up worshipping them and make these idols of them in their sitting places. So Ibn Abbas said, these are names of righteous men from the people of Noah. After they died. I mean, these names, these five names, after they died and passed away. أوحى الشيطان إلى قومهم. Satan inspired their people. أن انصبوا إلى مجالسهم التي كانوا يجلسون فيها أنصابا. To set up idols in their honor and set them in their gathering places. وسموها بأسمائهم. And to give these idols the names of those who passed away, the righteous men meaning. So they did. They did so, as Satan inspired them. But they did not worship them until these people passed away and knowledge of their origins were forgotten. Then they worshipped. Then they were worshipped. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, also mentioned that between Adam and Noah there were 10 generations, and the generation is 100 years, until the term was prolonged, then dispute occurred. And Allah sent the prophets, as Allah stated in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:2-3, كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين. We mentioned that Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that between Adam and Noah there were 10 generations and the generation is 100 years. So until the term was prolonged further or farther, further, a dispute occurred amongst the people, and then Allah sent the prophets. As Allah stated in the Quran, mankind were one community. كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين. Mankind were one community, and Allah sent prophets with glad tidings and warnings. This is the interpretation of Ibn Abbas to this verse. Now, question. Is his tafsir, his interpretation, hujjah, proof? The answer, in interpretation of the Quran, we refer first to the Quran itself. We refer to the Quran itself. The Quran interprets the Quran first. You seek, therefore, interpretation from the Quran first. Like, for example, take Surah Al-Qari'ah. Allah says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ. Then he gave its tafsir, its interpretation, by saying, نَارٌ حَامِيَ. In Surah 101. So in the tafsir, we refer to the Quran first. The Quran interprets the Quran. As in Surah Al-Qari'ah, for example, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ. And what will make you know what this is? You see, the tafsir, the interpretation came right afterwards. It is a hot blazing fire concerning hellfire. Now, what about if we don't find the interpretation in the Quran itself? Then we refer to the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about if we don't find? Then we refer to the interpretation of the companions. And the interpretation of the sahabi, the companion, or the companion, is, without a doubt, is a proof. Why? Because they are more knowledgeable of the Quran, since the Quran was revealed during time, their time, and in their language. And they know of the Quran more than others know of it. To the extent that some of the scholars, rahimahumullah, mention, إِنَّ تَفْسِيرَ الصَّحَابِي فِي حُكْمِ الْمَرْفُوعِ, that the interpretation of the companion is of the raised level, meaning raised to the Prophet, is considered. That the tafsir of the sahabi, according to some scholars, is في حكم المرفوع, takes the ruling as marfu, meaning raised to the Prophet. But this is not true. This is not true. But there is no doubt that it is a hujjah upon those who came after the companions. It is a proof upon those who came after the companions. So therefore, in the case that the companions may differ concerning the tafsir, then we take by what's preponderated by the context of the verse. Then we take by what is preponderated by the context of the verse. Now, in this case, in our situation we are discussing, the verse supports what Ibn Abbas went to, except that the apparent context of the verse, that these righteous men were before Noah. Were before Noah, as we discussed earlier, in accordance with the preponderating opinion. Then he cited, the author, rahimahullah, cited the saying of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, said, قال غير واحد من السلف لما ماتوا عكفوا على قبورهم ثم صوروا تماثيلهم ثم طال عليهم الأمد فعبدوهم. He said that most of our predecessors have stated, the righteous predecessors, that after the death of these righteous persons, they confined at their graves, and made statues. And after much time passed, they started worshipping them. However, in the interpretation of Ibn Abbas says that they set up the idols in their honor and set them in their gathering places. And here Ibn Qayyim says, they confined at their graves. And it's possible that they did both things. Or that they buried them in their gathering places. And so these gathering places will be the site of their graves. But the point of evidence is this. ثُمَّ طَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ فَعَبَدُوهُمْ. And after much time passed, they started worshipping them. What's the reason? What's the cause? It's because of their excessiveness in these righteous people. They ended up making idols of them and then worshipping them. Because of their excessiveness in them. Because they exceeded the limits concerning them. Of their praising them. They ended up, after much time, worshipping them. Is that clear? I said, the point of evidence in this, they ended worshipping them. Why? Because of their excessiveness in praising them. That's the point. Okay, alhamdulillah. So the last point made, and I will repeat it because of the sound problems, is that because of worshipping them is due to their excessiveness of their praise. They exceeded the limit in praising them, so they ended up worshipping them. This is the point. So inshallah this is clear now. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. Alright. Then the author, rahimahullah, cited the saying, the narration from Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, or rather the Umar, the saying of Umar, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. And this narration in Sahih Bukhari, Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, don't exaggerate in praising me as the Christians praise the Son of Mary, for I am only a slave. So call me the slave of Allah and His Messenger. Why? Because the excessive praise of Isa, the son of Maryam, the excessive or the exaggeration in the praising, is the cause for their exceeding the limits concerning this noble messenger of Allah, Jesus alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. They ended up considering him as son of Allah and one of three. The point of evidence here in this narration is, for I am only a slave, so call me the slave of Allah and His Messenger. What does it mean, for only I am a slave? Means I am not entitled and I don't deserve anything from lordship. And I don't deserve anything that is particular to Allah Azza wa Jal. You see that? For I am only a slave. These two statements, I am only a slave, so call me the slave of Allah and His Messenger, the slave and the messenger, these two descriptions are the most truthful conception descriptions and most honorable descriptions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, the best and most honorable description of an individual is to be a slave of Allah. Is to be a slave of Allah. Allah the Most High stated in Surah Al-Furqan 25:63, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. And the slaves of the Most Beneficent, Allah, are those who walk on the earth in humility and sedateness, or sedateness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also stated in Surah As-Saffat 37:171, وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And verily our word has gone forth of old for our slaves, the messengers. So Allah described them as slaves. Look at this. Our word has gone forth of our, or of old for our slaves, the messengers. Which one preceded the other? I ask you. Which description preceded the other? Slaves. Exactly. Slaves. Despite the fact that the messengership is a great honor. However, them being slaves of Allah, the Most Mighty and Most Magnificent, is greater in honor and magnificence. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave, but not to be worshipped. You see that? A slave of Allah. So he cannot be worshipped. And he is a messenger that's not to be belied. You see that? He is a slave, and so therefore cannot be worshipped. And he is a messenger, and so he cannot be belied. And that's why we say in our prayers, in our salah, when we make the greetings to him, and we testify for his messengership, we say, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. When we say this in the salah, in the tashahud, you know, we say, and I bear witness that he is, that Muhammad is Allah's slave and his messenger. So this is the best description which the Prophet ﷺ it chose for himself. And in this regard, one should remember that the rights are of three types. First is the right of Allah. No one shares Allah in this. Neither a close angel, nor a prophet messenger. This is what is particular to Allah, from His Lordship, His divinity, His names, His attributes. The second right is a right particular to the messengers. And that means to support them and respect them in all that they deserve. The third right is a common right, shared. And this is the faith in Allah and His Messenger. These rights could be found in the following verse in Surah Al-Fath 48:9. قال الله تعالى لتؤمنوا بالله ورسوله. This is shared, so that you believe in Allah and His Messenger. وتعزروه وتوقروه. And you support Him and respect Him. And this is particular to the Messenger. Honor Him, assist Him and honor Him. And the last one, وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. And that you glorify Him, meaning Allah. Glorify His praises, morning and afternoon. This is particular to Allah. You see that? In this verse, the three rights are clear. You see that? In order that you may believe in Allah and His Messenger, this is shared. This is the faith in Allah and His Messenger. This is the first one. And that you assist and honor Him, this is particular to whom? Particular to the Messenger, to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. And that you glorify His praises morning and afternoon, this is particular to whom? This is the right, particular to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who exceed the limits in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they give him the right of Allah. They give him the right of Allah. So they say, وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ, and you praise, that this refers to the Messenger. So they make tasbih of the glorify the Messenger as they glorify Allah. And there is no doubt that this is shirk. This is ascribing partners to Allah in worship. Why? Because the tasbih, declaring Allah free of all imperfection and defects, and this is from the rights of Allah that are particular to Him. In contrast to the matter of faith is a common right between Allah and His Messenger. We believe in them both. We believe in Allah as the true God deserving to be worshipped. And we believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as His true slave and messenger. In the hadith of Ibn Umar, or in the hadith of Umar rather, may Allah be pleased with him, don't exaggerate as the Christians exaggerated concerning Isa, son of Maryam. Why? Because the exaggeration and excessiveness leads to worship, worshipping the individual, as it is clear now. You find by the grave of the Prophet in Medina, in the city of Medina, you find by the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, those who stand by the grave and ask him, they request things from him, and they say, O Messenger of Allah, help, help, Ya Rasulallah, aghithna, send the rain, our land is drought, and so forth. And our Shaykh rahimahullah said here, and I had seen by my own eyes a man invoking Allah by the Kaaba, turning his back to the house of Allah, facing Medina, because to him, facing the grave of the Prophet is better than facing the Kaaba. We seek refuge in Allah from this. And some people consider the burial place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his apartment in Medina, apartment of Aisha in Medina. Better than the Kaaba, and they even consider better than the Arsh, and better than paradise. This is excessiveness. Something, yes, some consider that the place, the burial site of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is better than the Kaaba. Is better than the Kaaba, and better than the Arsh, and the carriers of the Arsh, of the throne, and even the Jannah is not like it, even paradise is not like it. This is excessiveness, not acceptable to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not acceptable to us. We seek refuge in Allah from this. We stop here, inshallah, so as to continue next time, next week. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Taslima kathira.